Yesterday, I was able to take part in the wedding of one of my dear friends from college. And it was obviously a very exciting celebration. And honestly, the guy she married was not like any of us pictured Jenny ending up with. And it actually was brought out in the weekend when she shared with everyone that she had very specific preferences on the groom that she was looking for. And we all knew that, being her friends. We recognized how much control she enjoyed having over that part of her life as she looked for who would be standing next to her at the altar on her wedding day. But what was shared was this very raw reality of her life that she expressed with us. She said that was a part of her life that she was trying to control. And the moment that she surrendered her preferences, God introduced Lewis into her life. And I was sitting with that, obviously, the whole weekend, because we're celebrating this great reality that here is this couple brought together because Jenny finally surrendered to God's will instead of what she was trying to control, trying to make it her will for her vocation. And I think it's in light of these readings this weekend that I kind of keep finding myself drawn back to that story, to what we are celebrating this weekend at that wedding. Because once again, in the readings this weekend, we're receiving this reminder that God's ways are not our ways. What God has planned and what he's capable of is beyond our comprehension as human beings. And it struck me, I think, in a very personal way, because when I think about our vocations, when I think about my vocation, this calling that is given to each one of us to intimately go deeper in a relationship with God and with others, when I think about my own vocation, the moments when it's toughest for me to live out that calling, when it's toughest for me to love freely the other who is entrusted to me, when it's hard for me to love God, it's because I'm trying to control what that looks like. I'm trying to have control over this calling. I'm trying to control what God is doing in my life. And we control things for many reasons. Honestly, it feels safer sometimes to feel like we have control over something. But when it comes to God, oh man, heaven help us if we try to control what he is desiring to do in our lives. Our scripture brings this out this weekend in a very beautiful way. Our first reading from Isaiah, it's from the beginning of what scholars refer to as the third part of Isaiah. We see that in this prophetic writing, there's three distinct breaks in kind of what is being addressed in the book of Isaiah. And this third part of Isaiah, he is speaking prophetically about the fulfillment of Israel, about the reality of the promise to the people of God. But he's speaking this to them as they are in bondage, as they are in exile. And so probably for them, hearing this message of trusting in the ways of God that are beyond anything that we as humans could know, they're probably like, what on earth are you talking about? That doesn't make any sense. And yet, what do they see? We know that that promise is fulfilled. We know that the Messiah comes. We know that they return from exile. And everything promised comes to fulfillment. The gospel is another great moment that communicates us to us the generosity of our God, and quite frankly, as human beings, our struggle to understand the immense generosity of our God. I mean, think of the last line of the gospel: thus the last shall be first and the first shall be last. What does that mean? I mean, like, for us to hear that, it doesn't make sense. What is Christ trying to say with that statement? It's kind of strange. And I think it's hard to grasp because we are brought up in a society where so much of our worth is based on what we're able to do, where we want to see what we have earned by what we do, where we recognize that and we feel like there's some sort of entitlement that is due somebody based on the actions that they partake in. Now, this could be a positive or a negative, those actions. Is it consequences or is it rewards? It doesn't matter. The point is that human beings, we tend to focus on the result of what we do. But that is not how the landowner operates in the gospel. Because each one of these people that he hires, he promises their daily wage. The daily wage being what is expected for a servant, the minimum, that amount that they need to provide for themselves and their family. So can we imagine just a second being that last group? We've been standing in the marketplace the whole day. Imagine the feelings at 5 o'clock when you realize there's only an hour left in the day. How am I going to provide for myself or my family? And here comes this landowner who says, no, come, I will give you what is just. And then he pays what is needed. What that worker needs, he fulfills that. To the landowner, it doesn't matter what those workers did or did not do. What mattered was who they are. He saw them, he recognized the need, and he fulfilled it. That's what the kingdom of heaven is like. That's what our God, a generous God, is like. And sometimes out of fear, I want to try to control what he's calling me to because I'm not sure he has seen me fully. I still think that maybe he doesn't understand the depths of my need. And yet the reality is that he provides fully. He sees me, he calls me, he loves me. That's the promise for each and every one of us. A beautiful promise, although it's tough. It's tough because we so much want to identify ourselves by what we do, not by who we are. So, okay, what now? How do we counteract that? You know, if that's what the scriptures are bringing out, this generosity of our God, and man's struggle to comprehend the vastness of that generosity, man's struggle to open ourselves up to receive that more fully, because that is the strange thing about it, right? When we try to control, we're not free to receive that abundance. So how do we let go? How do we surrender in order to receive more fully? I think the beauty of today's scripture is that it kind of pairs the answer with it. Because aside from this message of superabundance, the generous God that is brought forth in today's scripture, the other thing that features heavily within today's scripture is the attitude we have in gratitude. Entering into a thankfulness for this abundance. This recognition that our God, who is good, gives to us. That everything we receive is gift and comes from his abundance of goodness. Well, obviously in our experiences, that's hard to process sometimes. So I think the answer that we're provided is to form a heart of gratitude. That a thankful heart is free to receive from our abundant God. Our psalm today, Psalm 145, it's focused on gratitude. It's one of the Davidic songs of thankfulness, of gratitude, praise to God in thanksgiving. And the beautiful thing about it, you know, sometimes when psalms are translated into English, we forget there's an aspect of poetry to the psalms. And actually, this psalm, 145, is one of the acrostic poems. Acrostic, that poetic device where the first letter of every line or stanza spells out a word or a meaning, or in this case, is every single letter of the Hebrew alphabet. It's as if within this psalm of praise of who God is in thanksgiving of his goodness, it's as if the psalmist is saying, from beginning to end, we give thanks for all of it. because everything is gift that we receive. What a beautiful reminder, the way we pray, do we enter in giving thanks for the things in our life? Even those things that right now we're saying, what does that mean? Even those parts where we can't see because his ways are so far beyond our ways. Are we giving thanks and building a heart of gratitude? This celebration that we enter into, the Mass, the Eucharist, Thanksgiving. It's a prayer of thanksgiving. We literally focus on giving thanks within this celebration. The preface before the Eucharistic prayer, the priest says, let us give thanks to the Lord our God. And we respond, it is right and just. We recognize that what we do know as right and just is that we are to give thanks. Not that we are to control what we think justice is or what we think is right or wrong. It's this surrendering and saying the one thing we know is right and just is to give thanks to the Lord our God. That's why we've gathered to do that. And so let's use tonight to give thanks, to recognize and to offer in thanksgiving, to say thank you to places in our life, this past day, this past week, this past month. And not just the things that are easy to recognize, but let us give thanks for everything from beginning to end. Because when we have a heart of gratitude, it begins to transform our lives because it's inviting God into each and every one of the experiences in our life. Let's let go of trying to control. And let's say yes and thank you to a God who sees us and knows our need and calls us into a deeper relationship with him and others.